Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 374 of The Big Show. Some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Another Sunday. Here we go. Perhaps you're listening to this in the car, on the plane, train, wherever you go, on the bike. Monday morning, the commute to work. Here we go, another week. Wherever you happen to be listening to this. Thank you for tuning in. What a weekend, eh? UFC 300 went down. Actually, I'm not going to lie to you. To be completely honest, I'm really not much of an MMA guy, so I didn't watch it. I bet on it, though. I went for the long shot with the Holly Holm there. I thought, she lost for me. But, such as it is. Another losing ticket. How you guys doing? It feels like we just did this. I got some shit over my Habs rant, my Wi-Fi rant. I really wasn't ranting. I mean, like I told the guy who sent me the thing, I was like, oh, what was I wrong about? I reviewed all his fights, honestly, and, them's the facts. I said, send me a link to a fight and tell me what I was wrong about. Yeah, and I never heard back. Yeah, funny enough, I never got any link to any fight. But apparently I was just clueless. Yeah, and clearly a Habs hater. Well, I think I made it abundantly clear multiple times in that segment that I have nothing against Wi-Fi. I don't care who we play. I don't know how many times I have to say this. What did I say? 374. Well, for 374 episodes, I've been saying I don't give a shit about any of these teams. I don't know how many more ways I could say it. Just because I made fun of your, weren't you perceived that I made fun of your favoritist? Apparently, I'm just the biggest asshole. Oh, and I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm clueless. Okay, what am I clueless about? Yeah, well, because you are, bro. All right. Like I listened to you talk about his fights. You don't know what you're talking about. Probably never been in a fight. Yeah, I've finished third a couple times. No, like, what? I'm like, okay, well, what? Like I said, well, and I said in the video or in the podcast, I said, if anyone out there listening disagrees with me, then send me a message and an email or on private or on social media and tell me what I was wrong about. Well, goddamn, this motherfucker did. I'll give him that. But all he did was wanted to yell and swear at me. And apparently he saw it on Twitter. And I've never listened to your show before. And I never will listen to another one. Oh, well. This isn't a fucking airport. You don't have to announce your departure. I mean, okay. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I hope you downloaded it anyway. But I said, seriously, I said, well, what am I wrong about? I'm not saying I was right, but I'm like, if you're going to argue with someone or say, hey, you're full of shit. Oh, how so? Well, cause. Oh, well, that's, we'll take you seriously then. Cause, that's always a good one. Cause, okay. I'm like, well, no, just send me the link to the fights and which fights was I wrong about? Yeah, you don't get it, man. Well, this is his response to everything. And like I said, never heard back from any of the videos and then he blocked me. It's like, okay, well, whatever. I was suitably chased and let me tell you, he told me, boy, fuck. Sure. All right. You know what? As I'm sitting here on my computer yapping away, I can see on the bottom of the computer, 2 centimeters of snow on Wednesday. Motherfucker, we better not get snow. I am done seeing snow for the year. What the hell they took? 2 centimeters of snow. What do I get the weather set for? What? Antarctica? It's 18 and sunny right now. You know, what are we going to get snow on Wednesday? Okay, well, I don't know why I'm talking like I'm surprised. It's Saskatchewan. I mean, anything can happen. But, yeah, I think it'll just end up being rain. It better be. I ain't shoveling. I'm not shoveling in April. I'll tell you that. All right. Well, that was for... Well, hey, you've been a great crowd. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Well, now where are my notes here? I've went completely off script already. Well, I don't know what we're... Like, it was funny. We were sitting there last night, and I was kind of flipping back and forth from the Masters to baseball to, you know, whatever, UFC preliminaries. I watched some preliminary fight for, I don't know, for about 2 rounds, and it was about as exciting as watching grass grow, so I'm like, oh, no thanks. And then I watched a boxing match. That was about the same level of excitement. I'm like, holy shit. And then I flipped it around on YouTube. My wife was at the end of the couch watching TikTok videos. She's out in a different world. She didn't give a shit. But then she's like, oh, you know, and I went and did the dishes. And she's like, don't leave the dishes. You need to go record. I'm like, yeah, actually, I really don't know what I'm going to talk about. So I said, give me a second. And then I went back on the couch and ended up like falling asleep and dozing off and, you know, when I went to work early this morning, so I said, whatever. I said, I'll record when I get home. But at this point, I still haven't really... Well, I shouldn't say that. I do have a few things I'm going to talk about. I don't know how long this episode's going to be, because it's not like, I had my little feedback from the Montreal Fest, from those listeners. Keep sending those cards and letters to the station here. Oh, we had LNH, tremendous LNH. I love it. I love it. We'll get into that. What did I write here? Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that. I'm like, I have my little show notes written down. I'm like, it's really great that I write my show notes down and then I can't read my writing. Well, one thing I did do, at work there the other day, actually it was a little bit ago. I was getting some work done in a different department and ended up talking to a bunch of the guys. And I know the one guy used to play Junior B back in the day, and a couple of the older guys. The one guy asked me about my podcast, and the other guy, oh, what are your podcasts about? And I hockey fights and, oh, that's cool, you know, whatever. And we just kind of talking about fights for a couple minutes. And then the one guy was like, oh, yeah, you know, I take my kids to Blades games now, and they don't fight anymore, and it kind of sucks and whatever. And, you know, so we ended up just talking about, it went from just fighting in general to kind of talk about the Blades and, you know, their history of fighters and all that. Anyway, to make a long story longer, there's about 5 of us standing there talking. And I said, hey, I said, can you guys do me a favor? I said, I'm always looking for content for the show and everything else. I said, you know, when you guys are, because I know you're, because yeah, they work in groups, this department, you know. And I said, you know, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. They're kind of like, what? You know, and I said, no, I said, just in seriousness, I said, it'll help me out. I said, make a list, you know, of your 5 toughest Saskatoon Blades of all time. Oh, okay, yeah. And then they kind of named a few. I said, oh, yeah, you know, for over the next, you know, discuss it for today. And, yeah, when I see you guys again, I'll get the list. I'll write the list down for it. And, okay, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I saw him a few days later and I got the list, and, we will go over that. The toughest, 5 toughest Saskatoon Blades of all time. We'll talk about that. What an alumni, boy. You know, I ended up doing some research too. I mean, obviously living here in Saskatoon, you know, I know the history of the alumni and stuff, but it's like anything, you forget, right? So go to HockeyDB, type in the all-time roster and start scrolling down. It's like, holy shit, right? Like, oh yeah, right. You know, oh, that guy too. Yeah. You just, I mean, it's not like it's not who, you know, like I know, but it's just like you just forget, right? Until it's all right there in front of you, and then it's like, wow, you know, and they've been around for so long, it's like, yeah. Anyway, we'll get into all that, but anyway. Well, I guess, you know, obviously I have to start with, you know, as I said at the top of the show, remember the Hockey Podcast Network, there's over 100 shows in the network. All the NHL teams have podcasts, some multiple. Myself, Terry Ryan, Jolt and Joe Lozito, we're over at the, in the original content creator side, you know, like I said, Three Stooges, we're over here. And, yeah. So definitely the old TR from, you know, he's globetrotting, he's all over the place. Old Ted Hitchcock from Shoresy, author, actor, stuntman extraordinaire, storyteller, Terry Ryan, Joe Lozito, and, oh, Joe's got a story to tell as well. Yeah, that badass, man. Look up Joe Lozito if you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, and he likes his chips too, apparently. Yeah, catch up and all dressed if you're in the area. But Joe's latest episode, Damage Incorporated, it's a tag team. It's about Islander tag teams over the years. And this one is about Carkner and Bolton. So he just, you know, he released that last week. Well, he calls it released. Other people call it escaped. But, you know, the, you know, so I think it was it every Monday he comes out with new episodes. I gotta say, Joe's been on top of things lately. Normally, you know, he was on the old Mud Show. He was on Coden Salen's, you know, timeline. You know, he liked to do, like to kind of release shows bi-monthly. But you know, Joe's picked up his game a little bit. Some might want him to go back to that bi-monthly schedule. Others weekly. You know, we'll see. It depends who you talk to. You know, it depends if you're related to him or not. You know, opinions vary. But yeah. Check it out, Coliseum Chronicles. You know, I bug Joe all the time, but, you know, great back catalog. Dean Ewan, Fakota, Strudwick, Asham, Eric Bolton, on and on. Check it out. Tremendous. Damage Inc. tag team combination. That's pretty good. Actually, speaking of Damage Inc., you know, I might have to get Lozito back on the show here. Yeah. You know, and, we'll do our own damage. Yeah, it'll be damage. It might damage the ratings. That might be the only damage we do. But we'll see how that goes. But if you happen to be on social media, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. But if you are, Fourth Line Voice on Facebook as well as Twitter. And on the gram, the Instagram, I'm Fourth Line Voice THPN. Other than posting my episodes, I really don't do much on Instagram. So, yeah. But Twitter and Facebook, I am active. Not only on my own site, but on Facebook, but in the fight groups as well. Always put up pictures and videos and all that type of thing and promote the show and just promote Fourth Line life in general, so to speak. So, yeah, check it out. Give me a follow. And, also if you happen to be on the YouTubes, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube, I have over 2,000 videos, all the leagues. Everything's sorted. Just type in whatever league you're looking for. Up it'll come. Please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching a video, a Fourth Line Voice video that you like, sorry, I keep tapping my pen. That's probably very annoying. If you happen to watch a video that you like, hit the like button. YouTube loves that shit. Leave a comment. The engagement, they like that shit. And as always, finally, whatever iTunes, Spotify, whatever platform you're listening to this, myself, Terry Ryan Show, or Joe's Show, or whatever small podcast that you're listening to, do a star rating. Because it helps out that podcast. It does it really does in the algorithms and stuff. And Spotify, iTunes and stuff. It's engagement, right? And they like that. So leave a review if you feel strongly. But above all, also download. Please download. Do not stream. Because that is how we get paid. And it would be greatly appreciated if you could do that. But not only myself, but I will speak for Joe and Terry and all the small-time creators out there. Please download and review the shows because it all helps us. Believe me, leaving a review for Spit and Chiglets, you know, whatever. They don't need it. They're good. But for a smaller show, it's like, you know, you don't have to shop at Walmart. Maybe shop... I mean, I understand you got to go to Walmart now and again, but hey, maybe drop a few bucks at the local shop too, because it helps the mom and pop shop out. So there you go. That is my PSA. But, you know, speaking of sponsorships, this is how we get paid. DraftKings, and hey, put some future. You know what? I put a bet on Shane Lowry. That was my long shot. I got 40-1 for the Masters. Yeah, that didn't really pan out this week for me. But yeah. Oh well. But man, golf betting's so hard. How do you do that? Well, like I said, I already lost on my UFC bet. You know, I'm losing everywhere. I'm not going to give anybody any betting advice. But because, like I said, right now I couldn't pick the winner of a one-horse race. So, but if you want to sign up with the playoffs right around the corner, it's that time of year. Hockey's going into the playoffs. NBA's into the playoffs. Yeah, DraftKings, THPN. It helps out the network, and it would actually be great if you are going to sign up. I know all these places got sign-up bonuses and all that. If you're going to do some gambling for the playoffs, I'm thinking about putting a futures bet on the Winnipeg Jets. Kind of like that goaltending situation, you know, that carries your ass in the playoffs. Not that I follow the NHL, but I do know the Jets have a good goaltender. So I might be putting a futures bet on the Jets. Sign up, get the bonus, dump your bonus on the Jets. Free money. Check it out. And yeah, and you're helping the network out. But anyway, here's the sponsorship. I'll come back. We're going to get into this list and everything else. Hold on.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Well, I actually got the heads up. I forgot it was this week. This weekend in Quebec, just outside of Quebec City, the LNAH and the LSH, the AAA league, the kind of the feeder league to the LNAH, if you will, had open tryouts. They had, I believe, four teams. Fights galore! Everyone, they're looking for the next Jacques Dubé. And somebody was out there filming, and there, I think they had about five or six of the fights up, and tremendous. It reminds me of the old the footage of the old Quebec's Nordiques camp back when, like, Kordick and Twist and Kimball and Mayotte and all the Verberge, all those guys were there, and there was fight after fight after fight. I think it's like a training camp video. I think it's like an hour and a half. You know, just fight, pick up your shit, and keep playing. Oh, tremendous. It's kind of what this reminded me of. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if the LNAH wants to continue, I mean, it'll always continue, but if it wants to have that kind of that tough fighting rep as well, with the lack of import, like, and that's the thing, because everybody always, you know, the uninitiated, they're all, oh, why did Namesbury go to the LNAH if he wants to fight so much? Blah, 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 blah. You cannot play in the LNAH unless you played in the Quebec Junior League or the Maritime Junior A League. Unless you played in the league previously, you can be grandfathered in. But other than that, unless you played in Quebec, you can't play in the LNAH. Most ridiculous. Why would they do that? Anyway. So, I mean, and of course, follow me here. The Quebec Junior League, of course, put in fight sanctions a few years ago. There was 25 fights in the Quebec Junior League this year. I don't know where, and as the future goes on here, I'm not really sure where the LNAH is going to find these fighters, so to speak. So unless they lax their stupid import rules. I mean, more or less, you're going to have, and I don't mean this as a slight to anybody that goes out and does it, or, because, I mean, Jacques Dubé, guys like that, I mean, Mike Bro, you know, all those guys, I mean, those guys were are legends in the old Quebec League and the you know, Quebec Senior League before that. So I'm not taking a shot at those guys, but, you know, they were trained, like, Doug Glatt, that's really what they were. Right? So, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, that's what you're going to have to get now, because none of these kids coming out of junior fight anymore, clearly. So, you know, where are you going to get your, you know, your entertainers, so to speak? I mean, you know, and some of the, like Derek Park or Gabby Rock and some of the guys that are still around now, Hamill, well, you know, those guys are pushing the shady side of 30 into their 40s. Well, I mean, how much longer are they going to do it? You know, Belmar, guys like that. I mean, you know, father time is ticking, right? So, basically, it's up to these guys now. So, it's like, okay, well, we'll find our Doug Glatt. And, yeah, he might not be able to skate much, but we'll work with him and teach him. And maybe we can find the next Jacques Dubé and he can play, you know, 5 or 6 seasons in the LNAH and put on a show for the crowd. And there's a few guys. Andre Thibault is a perfect example. That's a homegrown guy. You know, I'm off the top of my head. I'm not up to date on the new crop at Brady Turcotte, I believe. You know, I'm not up to date completely on my new Quebec League guys. I'll have to get Francois back on the show. He's my kind of my LNAH hookup, because he was the one that let me know about this that was going on. And so maybe I'll get him on here at the end of the year, because the playoff LNAH playoffs are going on right now. Ooh, Laval's down 3 games. Well, that's a first place team. Might be upset here in the first round. Brett Gallant has been in the lineup for the last 2 games. Hasn't fought yet, but not many shifts. But I know he's just still trying to get his legs. But that's a tough time. That's a tough ask when you're in the playoffs to do that. And I know Laval got hit with a bunch of suspensions too, with Barker suspended and Danick Paquette. And yeah, that's tough. But I'll get Francois back. I plan on, it's funny. I was just talking to Jay here before I got going. You know, I always do the preseason or the start of the year, who to watch for. And then of course we had the midseason kind of the report card and everything. Well, I got to have an end of this season review. I plan on doing a review for the Southern Pro League, a review for the East Coast, you know, LNAH, you know, minor league stuff. May as well do an NHL one. Probably what I'm going to do is I'll kind of put a poll up in the fight group and see what the group says. And then, you know, there's a couple guys that I know that still follow it, that whose opinion I'll listen to. And because I mean, I can't tell you, I mean, I've seen some of the fights, but I'm not fucking paying much attention. So I'll get them on the show and we'll review the NHL. We'll just do review episodes. I mean, it's the middle of fucking summer. What are we going to do? Right. You know? So yeah, we'll be doing review shows. That's coming up. And yeah, but yeah, it's the LNAH and training, open training camp. But this actually leads me to my next kind of story here, as it all sort of ties together. I knew that they were doing this. I didn't know what the dates. I kind of thought they would do it when the season was over. I saw, it was about a month or two ago, Jeff LaFrance, of course, from Ice Wars fame, who has bounced around from the AAA League to the LNAH back and forth. I think he kind of announced, or on his Facebook, I believe it was him. I can't remember. Maybe it was Lafreniere. I can't. One of them, anyway, a player, put it on the thing that, oh, there's open tryouts and whatever. Well, and Jeff LaFrance, again, because it's in French, so it's hard, because he hit Google Translate, and it kind of translated, but sometimes words get lost, the way it's sentenced, it gets lost in translation sometimes. So, from what I could tell, and I, you know, just, this is my interpretation of it. LaFrance was fighting with people online. And I don't know if it was like Laval fans. He was arguing with fans anyway. And they kind of were shitting on him. A couple guys were shit talking, and as they do. I mean, there's nothing new there. And the one guy had a lot to say, and it seems to me like LaFrance, like they knew, he knew who the guy was and everything. So LaFrance basically was talking about, well, there's open tryouts here in April, I guess, well, the 13th and 14th. Hey, I'm going to be out here if I'm so shitty and whatever. Big mouth, come on down with your skate, put your skates on, and let's see how tough you are, because you sure like to kind of talk tough online and everything else. And, you know, I remember reading that, and I'm like, open tryouts, really? And then Francois got a hold of me, and was like, oh, you're going to see these videos that they're putting up in the tryouts this weekend. Oh, yeah, shit. This is what LaFrance was talking to that guy about. I'm like, oh, yeah. And so I watched a bunch of the videos. I can't remember who the guy that they were fighting or whatever. I will 99.9% bet that, you know, Johnny Big Mouth online was nowhere near that rink this weekend. And, yeah, and is flapping his lips from a safe distance. I can guarantee that. You know, which is typical these days. And I've talked about it on this show before, just in my little podcasting world. You know, you get these trolls and everybody that like to argue online and, you know, and they talk shit online. And there's been, I don't know how many at this point, that I'm being completely sincere, and it happened the other day. Not that this guy was swearing or anything, but he's an older guy. Him and I kind of disagreed on a subject, and you know, and he's talking about the code in the '80s. I could talk about that. I will talk about that in a sec. Well, I'll go back to this, but yeah, I mean, I've had guys. You know, like guys that'll send me either DMs or they'll say it right in the Facebook group that, oh, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. I said, well, that's fine. And we go back and forth. And again, I'm not saying it's like, oh, you got to listen. I'm right. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not, you can disagree with me. I mean, I've had lots of people that I live with somebody that disagrees with me constantly. but if you're going to, like I said, if you're going to go online, comment to a guy that, oh, I listen to your show or I see your post here and you're full of shit. Okay, well, how am I full of shit? Well, cuz, bro. Well, no, that's not, you're being a goof. Like, that's like all these little Habs trolls the other day talking about. It's like, okay, well, then how are you coming up with your opinion then? And they can't tell you, they're just shit talking. But a couple guys we went back and forth with, and I said, well, hey, if I'm so clueless and everything else, you know I have a podcast. Give me your phone number. I'll get you on the line. We'll get you on the air. And I'm not going to edit anything. I will give you free reign. Everyone in this group sees you and I, me calling you to come on the show. I'll make a post. Like, they can all read it. It's not private. How about you come on my show? And I will give you a platform to, you could tell me everything I'm wrong about. And we'll have a debate on the air. I think it would be fun. You know how many people have taken me up on it? Yeah, exactly. None. You know, like I said, these guys can all talk a real big game until all of a sudden they have to actually verbally say it. And then, no. All of a sudden, yeah, they're nowhere to be found. So, it's funny how that works. But, yeah, no, well, the Max Domi thing. Yeah, I don't, whoever the kid was, some rookie in New Jersey, go, they're beating up a kid. You know, we're doing that thing again. Some guy with New Jersey was roughing up Austin Matthews in the corner. Nothing serious, but, you know, hey, Toronto's going into the playoffs. I think New Jersey's out of the playoffs. You know, so we got this clown roughing up the captain. And you know, Austin Matthews ain't going to fucking stick up for himself. And, you know, Max Domi comes in from the side, grabs this guy and fucking gives him a few lefts and rights. Yeah, well, what's the same? Fuck around, find out. Yeah. You touch the captain, you mess around with the captain, you're going to get what you're going to get. Well, of course, everyone's up in arms. Like, this was just terrible. That wasn't honorable and all this horse shit. Well, he's messing with the captain. Fuck, you think Semenko and McSorley, if you messed with Yzerman, Probert was going to be honorable about it? Like, what the fuck are these people talking about? But that's how deluded these fucking, they like I said, they're like I always say, they run around with their little code boners, and you got to square off, and, you know, let Marcus of Queensbury, like, so he roughs up your captain. What are you supposed to go over, tap him on the shoulder? Excuse me, sir, but I'm going to meet you at center ice for a duel. Like, what are we doing? Like, no, like, now if it's off the face off and, hey, let's go, like, you know, okay, yeah. Let's say jump a guy. I mean, you know, whatever. But it's like, no, if some guy's messing with a teammate or whatever, you grab him and beat the shit out of him. I mean, that's the way it used to go. Anyway, and here, so I got this guy telling me, like, I think he just had a fucking hate on for the Leafs or for Max Domi, I guess. But he starts telling me, oh, in the 70s, that when real men did this, nobody jumped anybody. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, and this guy's a former player and shit. And, I mean, we weren't swearing at each other, but I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're having some revisionist history here, because Dave Brown didn't jump, Semenko didn't jump people? All right. Like, if you said Wendell Clark never? Like, oh, no, they came on you, it came at you head on, not from the side. Well, I said, I guess the problem becomes back then, if you ran the captain or hit somebody on the team and, like, was messing with them, your head was on a swivel because you knew someone was coming. These kids now, never, half of them never been, three quarters of them actually, never been in a fight, been in leagues that don't have fighting. So they've been able to act like donkeys and punch people and cross-check people and skate away and no one does anything to them. So when someone grabs them out and starts beating on them, they're surprised. So yeah, I guess maybe, but, if nothing had happened and Domi just skated over and grabbed this guy and started punching him, okay, you have your argument then. But the fact that he was roughing up Matthews, now you could say he didn't really do much to Matthews, and he really didn't, but nonetheless, it's the idea of you're a nobody and you're fucking with the captain and the leading goal scorer in the league. We ain't having this. And that's why it happened. I don't know why that needs to be explained. Now, that needs to be explained to the 16-year-old online that doesn't know any different. I don't know why I'm explaining this to a fucking 55-year-old. You know, I think you're just letting your Leafs hate or Domi hate get in the way. I don't know. But to sit and tell me that there was a code in the 70s and 80s, I don't give a shit that you played. I don't know what code you're talking about. Like I said, it's some revisionist history, and which, okay, but... Yeah, Terry O'Reilly followed a code, did he? Yeah, okay. I Ben Wilson, these guys. I mean, if you're gonna fight, we're fighting. Now we can mix semantics and say, oh, they came at you head on, or they didn't come at you from the side. Whatever, they had their gloves off and were throwing punches. And if you were gonna stand around and open your lunchbox, you were gonna get what you were gonna get. You know. It was like, no, we're fighting, and so you can either turtle or you're gonna get your face broken. So you better maybe defend yourself, because that's what's happening here. So, but whatever. That was just my little. I expect the New Age fans to be outraged about Max Domi and him doing that, that's just that incident. The video is on Twitter, and I just kind of quoted the video and put it above. I said the comment section here shows how far gone, like, media people that run leagues and New Age fans are. If you don't know why that happened, I can't help you. You know, and it should happen more. To be completely honest, I have no problem with Max Domi doing what he did. That used to be the point. That's why you employed those people. Now, I'm not saying Max Domi's an enforcer, but at one time, that's why you had enforcers. If they were on the ice and that happened, yeah, whoever did it, it didn't matter if you were a first-line guy or a fourth-line guy, you were dead. Or if they weren't on the ice, the next time you were on the ice, they were going to be. And you weren't given a choice, and you were getting it, regardless. There you go. Anyway. But such as we are, here we are. Yeah.
Why? That's Bush League.
Okay. Oh, his dad must be embarrassed. No, his dad understood it. Ty did the same thing. Do you think if anybody went in the corner with Matt Sundin and started punching him, Ty Domi was going to skate over and challenge them to a duel at center ice? He'd just start wailing on him. I don't know what you people are talking about. Again, I expect younger fans to not have a fucking clue, but... Fuck, an ex-player that played the dub back in the 80s? fuck, man, come on. You know. Whatever. Hey, maybe I'm clueless, I guess. I don't know. You know, offered him the opportunity to come on. I said, well, we should talk about it. Plus, you could tell some old WHL stories. I think it'd be cool. But I got, wow, I'll think about it. So, okay. Whatever. That's cool. I understand it. That's fine. And like I said, him and I, we weren't being disrespectful to it. Like, there was no swearing at each other or anything like that. But I just, you know, whatever. He has his opinion. I have mine. That's the way, such as it is. So, but I really wish he would have come on the show. That would have been cool. No, I'll just have that debate. Cause I'd really like to understand his point that he was like, I don't really get it, but okay. It would have been fun to expand on it anyway. Expound on it. Maybe that's what I'm searching for. But then it would be cool just to get 80 fucking dub stories. That'd been sweet. But this list, Tim's excited. Well, maybe he's not excited. I don't know. Are we excited? The City of Bridges, the Saskatoon Blades. What an organization that's been around. How long has this team been here for? 50 years? Yes. Let's. And there has been toughness roll through Saskatoon without a doubt. So the list that my compatriots came up with here. I can't act surprised because obviously I wrote the list down. But now, I guess I didn't give them any parameters and stuff. So, and I talked to a couple other guys later on, and they're, Bruce Eakin and, you know, and all that. And it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, I never saw that guy play. So I can't comment on that. Leroy Gorski, I always hear about him as well. And kind of the old time guys, as before my time. So I can't. I'm not denying that they were top or anything like that or, you know, whatever. I can't give you an opinion on someone I didn't see. And it's not like there's video. I really wish there was, but there isn't. But I was going to say with this list, it was like, I should have said, you know, although pretty much this is who you're going to pick anyway, but it was like, because all these guys on the list played the NHL after. And it's like, okay, like maybe the toughest, because there was guys that were maybe, as in junior, they were on this level of toughness in junior when they played for the Blades. But obviously they never went out to the NHL. And as you got older in your 20s and got better, does that make sense? There's junior tough and then there is pro tough, right? You know, because I mean, there might be guys on this list who at the time when they were in the Western Hockey League probably weren't the toughest guys in the West, might not have been the toughest guys in the Western Hockey League. But they went on to have, maybe somebody would say, oh, no, they were tougher than so-and-so, but they never went on to play in the NHL, whereas this guy did. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway. Shut up and get on with the list. Okay. Well, at number five, we have Wade Belak. And I saw a lot of Wade Belak when he was here, because that's when I used to go to games a lot. And I have a bunch of his WHLs. I have a bunch of his WHL stuff on my YouTube channel, if you want to type it in. In fact, I think I have his very first Western League fight with Marion Menhart in PA. He's got the shaved rookie head and everything. Yeah, I mean, Belak, man. Now, again, I don't have all of his fights on tape, and I'm going to tap into my memory here and pretend I can. Like, I can remember he certainly won far more than he lost. I don't remember Belak. I'm sure there was fights where he got out-punched, of course, but I don't remember him getting buckled or anything like that, but he definitely put the hammer down on a few cats for sure. So, yeah, Wade Belak. Number four was Tony Twist. It's always funny. I always laugh. I always talk about, and again, Tony Twist, I do have some of his Western League fights on my YouTube channel. But he fought the same in junior as he did in the NHL. He had the right hand, that big looping punch, and yeah, Tony's a bad dude, man. I know the one night there in Saskatoon, in the old arena, Link Gates gives it to him. Link Gates is with Spokane. That's on my channel. And yeah, even the locals are just like, Tony, Twist, you punching bag. It's like, Jesus, tough of the home crowd giving it to you. But he had fought Link in Spokane as well before that. You know, unfortunately, that fight's not on video, but because that would have been interesting to see that. I don't know if Twist ever talked about it. But yeah, this one was no contest with Link. And yeah, it took Tony a while to exact revenge. He had to wait until the IHL to get revenge on Link for that one. But yeah, Twist. Yeah, great fight with Scott Daniels on my channel. The fights with Kimball and Rod Williams is on my channel. I'm trying to think of the other Blades fights that are on there. I had a few Blades fights of Twister. Number three, Joe Koser. Yeah, unfortunately, there's only like really one video of Koser with the Blades, and he drops the guy. It's a real quick kind of clip. It's in a music montage. I believe George Arkahorse, I believe he has it on his channel. But yeah, I mean, what is there to say about Joe Koser? It's, I mean, I can't comment on his WHL because I never saw, I mean, so was it 83, 84? He would have been, or 82, 83 when he was with the Blades? Well, I was seven, so, you know, so I can't, obviously I have no recollection of him playing with the Blades, but I know guys, older guys that I talked to, he hit just, yeah, it was the same as in the NHL and stuff, yeah, because back then when they played, there was no visors on the helmets, so yeah, they didn't have to punch through visors and shit, so yeah, Koser had a 40-goal season with the Blades as well, so he's a really solid player too. But yeah, actually, I just put up a really cool picture. Yuka had put it up, I had to steal his stuff and put it on Facebook. But it was Joe Koser with the Yorkton Terriers in the SJHL. Yeah, and he was battling. Who was it? Trent Yanni, who was playing for the Saskatoon Jays. Yeah, so it was a cool old SJ picture of Koser. Number two, Wendell Clark. There you go. Yeah, Wendell. The only fight that I've seen of Wendell with the Blades is his it was a quick highlight of him fighting Shane Cherla, the fight everyone talks about. That fight they did play at his retirement. And oh, believe me, oh, I know the video I've been trying to, when they retired Wendell's jersey, in Saskatoon here, which wasn't that really that long ago. The team actually got a hold of me because, of course, I was friends with the owner's kid and all that stuff, and he knew I had all the fights and whatever. And he was like, "Do you have any Wendell Clark Saskatoon Blades footage?" Of course, I'm like, "I wish. Do you?" And he's like, "No, that's why I'm asking you, because we're retiring his jersey and we wanted to put..." So they had to really go and dig, and I think they found some at the news station, some really old archived footage. And I wasn't at the game. I didn't see the video, but somebody said... They played the Cherla Clark fight. Now, I don't know how much of it. And on the news that night, they briefly played the video. And I saw it. And I saw the photo. I know they played it on the thing. So, yeah, I would love to see. I'd love to get that. I wonder if they have the whole fight. I'd love to get down in like the old CFQC archives and stuff and just see what the old Blades footage that they have. That would be. Oh, what a treasure trove that would be. But yeah, Wendell Clark actually played defense for the Blades in the back of the old Cooper all days and a couple 200 penalty minute seasons. And yeah, he was in a lot of, I think he had 20 some fights each year. And again, he talks to some of the old guys. Of course, it's hard though, because you talk to people around here. Wendell never lost. Yeah, no, he knocked that guy. He knocked everyone out and never lost. And it's kind of okay. You know, now I'm sure Wendell Clark probably did not lose a lot of fights in junior, but you know, I'm sure he lost a couple, but that would be great to see, that's for sure. But yeah, and then number one, yeah, with a bullet, Dave Brown. I mean, there you go. He played one season in Saskatoon, and again, there's no footage or anything, but I know the stories around Saskatoon are legendary of Dave Brown because he's from Saskatoon as well. And I work with a few people that actually grew up with him on the west side, and I don't know if many people know this, but he was actually a really, really big baseball prospect too. He's a left-handed pitcher. Apparently he could really bring it. Yeah, he was apparently a really good baseball player. Imagine charging that mound. Yeah, good luck to you. But, Dave Brown. So there you go. Brown, Clark, Koser, Twist, and Bielak. Well, goddamn, that's a solid alumni right there. I don't think there's any arguing there. And like I said, when I went through the list and stuff, the all-time roster, I mean, it's like Jeff Buchanan had a great IHL career. Mark Rader, that was a guy, he played 4 years in the Western, like big, huge defenseman. Actually, he was in that original black and blue Enforcers tournament in Prince George back in 04. Unfortunately, when he was in it, his skate broke which was really unfortunate. But yeah, he was a big guy, tough guy. I was a big Mark Rader fan. I'd like to get him on the show. I talked to him years ago. I talked to him on the phone about coming on, but, I should really reach out and talk to him again. But yeah, I mean, he played briefly in the East Coast League, but I know he was in Toronto Maple Leaf camp. I believe there is video of him. I want to say it was Wendell that he fought. Who did he fight? I think it was Wendell that he fought in Leafs camp. He fought somebody because it's been years. I can't remember, but he was in Leafs camp and had a fight because it made our news. And of course, Rhett Tremblay, another guy. I was a big fan of Tremblay's as well. You know, played about a season and a bit here. And, yeah, he didn't lose too many. Had a little rough go against Brant Myers, but, other than that, the Golden Rhett, as they say, him and old Kent Staniforth had quite the rivalry. Yeah, Tremblay was cool as shit, man. Yeah, Grant Chorney, there's an old name for you. Bruce Eakin, yeah, Jerome Engel, there, you know, of course, he's been an assistant coach, with the Blades forever, and he played in the NHL back in the 70s and stuff. Yeah, big tough defenseman back in the day. Wes George, people might remember Wes George. There was a story of him and Semenko, fighting in the junior, and when Semenko was with Brandon, and they ended up fighting in the Zamboni entrance, and Semenko talks about it, and he ended up sticking his finger in Wes George's eye. But, yeah, Wes George, I've met him a couple, nice guy off the ice and everything, but mean looking dude, man. Like even back, like this is when he was in his 50s. So I can imagine at like 18, 19, what this cat looked like. Yeah, oof. Bruce Gordon is another guy that I hear, people talk about, back in the day. It was really tough. Like I was saying with him and Leroy Gorski. Leroy Gorski is a smaller guy. He was like 5'6", 5'7". He's like a Domi Morasti type. But, yeah, apparently he had quite the rep. Now in my time in the 90s, Mike Gray, he played here. He'd fight everybody. Another guy I saw play a lot right towards the end of when I was going to Blades games is Evan Haugh. Big kid. He kind of had a Belak vibe to him. He was like really tall, redhead, tall. He actually, I got the game tapes that year of, it was 04, 05, I believe. He did really well. He looked really good in his fights. I gotta say. Yeah, Evan Haugh, solid. Dale Henry there. I gotta throw the Islander out or Joel will get mad. Yeah, he had a 40 goal season with the Blades too. Hank the Tank. Mel Hewitt, of course, I believe he had the WHL record at one time. I think he's the all-time WHL penalty minute leader, I think. He played on a few teams. Adam Huxley, of course, guest of the show. I've had him on a couple times. Good guy. Real technician. He reminded me of Doty Wood. He had the duck under the arm thing. He was great. Undersized guy, but, fought everybody, and I have a bunch of his fights on YouTube, and of course he played the minors forever. Yeah, tough guy for sure. You know, speaking of undersized, Kevin Kaminsky, you know, tremendous player. I think people don't realize, I mean, people remember the Capitals or his NHL career when he was more of a pest than anything else, but just fearless guy. But he was like the 90 point season and 200 some, he ended up getting suspended a whole bunch of times. So that he would have had a 100 point season easy. But he was a great player with the Blades. I mean, you know, point a game guy, 200 minutes and just a little bastard, but he'd fight everybody. And I loved Kevin Kaminsky. Garrett Klotz is another guy. You know, just a massive dude, you know, drafted by the Flyers there. I know he had initially, he started in Red Deer and had some, well, it's public knowledge, I'm not out of school, but he had some, you know, he was 17, had some off-ice issues and whatever, started some shit in Red Deer or whatever, and they wanted to move him, and the Blades picked him up, and they revitalized his career here, and he had a great year with the Blades, fight-wise, dominant, big guy, and of course, he went on to have a great pro career. James Lattos, again, probably some of the, him and Rudy Poshak's were probably some of the best junior fights I ever saw when Lattos had played in Portland. Look those up. L-A-T-O-S. Look that up with Poshak. I think somebody unearthed this footage just, and it's just gold. You gotta see it. What crazy fights. Of course, big Steve McIntyre played here when he first started junior. You know, back then he was still a puppy with big paws. You know, he wasn't the McIntyre that you guys all know now, but, but big kid and willing and learning the role at the time. And it was such a, you know, that late 90s was such a time in the league to, you know, because there were so many guys. You know, Colton Orr was coming up at the time, and, you know, Fritz and Goddard and Pete and Josh Mazur and Sommerfeld and all those guys. And, yeah, Big Mac. Chris McAllister, of course, he's a defense partner with Bielak. Again, young kid at the time, but he's so big. But imagine him and Wade as defense partners. Ooh. But, you know, he was learning his way at the time, too. He did okay. He didn't do a lot of fighting in the play. He'd fight. I mean, everybody knew his role, but he didn't. He developed that later on after he turned pro and got into Syracuse in the American League and really kind of got into that mind space, that head space. But, yeah, big kid and, you know, learning the way at the time. But, yeah, again, he had a great career. Former Richard Peacock, you know, played a season here, you know, crazy Richard Peacock. He was nuts and all over the place and he was fun to watch. And, you know, Pat Price for you older guys, again, that was before my time, but, you know, he played a long time in the NHL with the Penguins and stuff. And, Todd Simpson, that's actually, they traded Mark Rader to Tri-Cities for Todd Simpson. I was pissed at the time because I liked Rader so much, but, you know, we got Todd Simpson. Of course, you guys know how, you know, how long he played in the NHL for and the fights that he had there, but he was great when he came here. I became a massive Todd Simpson. I think he had a 2-fight night in the first game with the Blades, but a real solid player too. And, you know, good captain. And yeah, Todd Simpson was cool as shit, man. Daryl Stanley, there you go. He played with, well, that's where him and Dave Brown, that's where their friendship was born, was in junior. And, yeah, he played with on the same Blades team as Dave Brown. So they've kind of followed each other their whole career. But yeah, of course, Stanley, I mean, you guys know how tough Daryl Stanley is. Brandon Tidbull, there, of course, Curtis Tidbull's little brother. Brandon Tidbull came for about a half a season. He came from the Quebec League. He had put up a huge PIMS in the Quebec Junior League, and then he came home because they're from Regina. And, Blades picked him up. He's an undersized guy, but yeah, probably about 5'10", 5'11". Just an asshole. But I loved Tidbull. He'd fight everybody and was just a showman. And, yeah, I was a big Brandon Tidbull fan. And of course, Sean Yakimishin, he played here a long time. I believe he's the team's all-time penalty minute leader. I think he had 900 and some minutes in 4 years at the Blades. But a great player, 20-goal guy, you know, 20 goals, 250 minutes. He ended up playing in the Colonial League for a long time, in the Central, I think. And, actually, we follow each other on Facebook. I should try to get a hold of him, see if he'd like to come on the show, because I'm sure he'd have some great stories from those Blades teams and stuff. So, but yeah, I was a big Yakimishin fan. He's an undersized guy too, about 5'10", 5'9", but, you know, but kind of in that Kaminsky mold, right? Just a run around, hit everybody, just an asshole, spear you in the nuts and whatever, punch you in the back of the head. But at the same time, if it's like, if you wanted to fight, he'd fight you. It wasn't like he was scared. So yeah. But anyway, it was fun to kind of go. I'm sure I probably miss people, but as a Tanner Schultz, as another kid, played here briefly for about a year and a half. And I mean, I think, yeah, shit, he had 40-some fights the 1 year. Again, undersized, but fought everybody. Yeah, the Blades have had so many tough guys come through here. And, you know, and I've always said I was always very fortunate. Saskatoon, for as far as I remember, maybe it's different. I don't pay any attention anymore, but at the time and stuff, the media was always really pro fight. We didn't have anybody whining about it in the newspaper guys were always cool about it. The TV was definitely, as far as I remember, especially the global guys later on, old Barney Shinkaruk and Tyler Harris, they loved it. So that was in the 2000s though, but I have some funny videos of them. You know, they watching them do the highlights at 11 o'clock at night going around the league was tremendous. They'd have all the nicknames for everybody. They'd have a good time doing it. I love listening to those guys do sports. But, yeah, there you go, folks. There's a little kind of a trip down memory lane as far as Saskatoon goes. But, yeah, if you have a team that you want me to check out and go through your alumni and we'll come up with a list for them, we can definitely do that, whether it be, you know, OHL or Quebec or the NHL. Because some of these teams have, you know, been like Peterborough and stuff. Imagine doing a Peterborough list, you know, or a Sault Ste. Marie or something, or, you know, or the Regina Pats or Spokane Chiefs or something. I mean, you know, you could, there's a good off-season project. We could, you know, because they're always struggling for stuff to talk about. So, yeah, I could look at alumni of different teams. I think that would be fun. But anyway, guys, that's we'll wrap it up for Sunday here. Let's attack the work week. And, yeah. Well, it's 5:41 here, so I'll go upstairs, fire up the barbecue, we'll get it going, maybe get some burgers and stuff. So, thank you very much for tuning in. Like I always say, I know there's hundreds of podcasts to listen to, and the fact that you chose to listen to mine, I really do appreciate it. And we have fun here, and I joke and always yell about the people that, you know, the fans and the fight fans and, oh, you assholes and everything else. But I have some very loyal listeners, and I love getting the feedback from you. And please, as I always say, my DMs are open. Drop me a line. Love to hear from you. If you're not on social media, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Send me an email. I've gotten a bunch of emails lately, and thank you very much. I appreciate it. And please keep them coming. I love it. So thanks, guys. And let's get out of here. Let's attack the work week. We'll talk to you cats on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?